Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm very, very delighted to tell you that on the line we have a gentleman. We're speaking to him. I believe he's in Bahrain. His name is Lo'ai Al-Sharif. He is a social media activist and he's a linguist. And I've been wanting to talk to him for a very long time. Lo'ai Al-Sharif, thank you for joining us on 101.9 Chai FM this afternoon.
Hello, how are you? I'm sorry, I hope I got on time, so I'm very delighted to be with you.
I am more delighted, Lo'ai, that's for sure. Just a question, because I was a little unsure. You are referred to as a Bahraini. Why did I think you were Saudi? Do you want to just clarify that for me?
That's fine. We are all like one country. I was born and raised in Saudi Arabia and now living in Bahrain, actually living in the UAE, but currently in Bahrain. So you see, the Gulf states are all like one state.
Okay, that does make sense, but it's going to make my discussion with you all the more interesting that you have a Saudi background. But I want to hold off that for just one moment and tell you that I came across you pretty soon after the Abraham Accords were signed. I saw an Israeli journalist interview you. You were dressed in very smart, full Arab garb, and suddenly, "Itchila ledaber itcha be'ivrit ve'anita la." How on earth did you learn to speak Hebrew?
Well, I remember that interview, and Hebrew is a very special language to me. I love it because of the biblical history, the stories of the Tanakh, and lamadati evrit mi shirim shel Ofra Chaza, mi internet, from all of this.
I've got to translate that because I think most of our listeners don't understand Hebrew, actually, given that this is South Africa. I was just telling me he learned most of his Hebrew from songs of Ofra Chaza. Isn't that absolutely incredible?
But the Jewish community in South Africa doesn't speak Hebrew?
Some do and most don't. I reckon they see, for the most part, Hebrew as a language of prayer. And I'm pretty sure if you had to ask a lot of them what it is they're saying, that many of them wouldn't understand.
Okay. So they just go to the prayer and say, Baruch Ata Adonai Elohim Hashem. That's it.
Exactly. So, Lo'ai, you said to me you were Saudi. Like, let's be honest. Up until recently, the relationship between the Saudis and the Israelis has not exactly been terribly friendly. I would imagine to Jews as a whole, there was certain stereotypes that must have been presented to you as a young man growing up. What happened? What caused you to question those stereotypes and find another way?
Well, what caused me to question the stereotypes, as you call them, traveling. When I traveled and lived with a Jewish family, I raised so many questions about Judaism, about the prophets, and I was really appalled when I realized that most of the prophets that we know in Islam spoke Hebrew, or they were Hebrews, or they were from, of course we knew that they are from the children of Israel, but we cannot connect the fact that Israel, modern Israel, is an extension of ancient Israel. You see, this kind of connection, it's actually desired by so many to be disconnected. And I tried to just fill the gaps, and I found out that, you know, the prophets and the heritage of the children of Israel is actually so rich. And I started to question so many things that I had. So many things that I had in my background that I thought they were true and they were not. Some of my beliefs that I believed were true, I found out they were not. And some of my beliefs that I believed they were true, they were true. But the thing about the Jewish people and the line of Israel and the Jewish prophets, it turned out to be misunderstood. So I started to learn more and more. Here I am now in 2021. I'm a different person. Don't think that I was the same person in 2010. Of course not. I was a different person. I was having this background that the Jews are evil. The Jewish people are conspiring against everyone. So I didn't have this, I didn't have this, tendency towards the Jewish history.
I couldn't understand if it would have been any different. I mean, I think we all understand the kind of, curriculum that are taught to youngsters. And hopefully now that may change. You've been very public in your, positions of being quite supportive of the Abraham Accords. How has that been received amongst your peers, people you know and grew up with?
Let me tell you something. It was well received, the Abraham Accords, and I want this to be known to the Jewish people in South Africa. The Abraham Accords were well received. They were well received by the people of the UAE. So in the United Arab Emirates, it was well received. United Arab Emirates has zero anti-Shemut, you know, zero anti-Semitism. People are welcoming the Israelis. They are welcoming the Jewish people. They are welcoming everyone who's coming from the land of Israel. And they are so happy to see the bilateral relations. And especially when they see the benefits of this relation when it comes to economy, when it comes to tourism. I've been to Dubai last December. I celebrated the Hanukkah there. There were 50,000 Israelis were in Dubai. Can you imagine that? So many people have this great receiving of the Jewish people in Ichud HaEmiriyot HaArabiyot. I always remember how to say it in Hebrew, Ichud HaEmiriyot HaArabiyot. But it's not very well received in some areas in the Arab world. And I cannot blame them. I don't think you would blame them too. Because they were raised this way. They were raised the way that the Jewish people are bad or evil. So it will take time, but I'm seeing it make it a great progress.
I don't want to minimize for 1 minute the Abraham Accords because I think they are truly remarkable and wondrous. But I do really hope that one day Israel and Saudi Arabia will arrive at the same sort of agreement. Do you see the agreements between Bahrain and the UAE as a precursor to perhaps relations with Saudi?
Perhaps. I don't know for sure. I cannot know for sure. But I would say perhaps. I'll keep my fingers crossed and I will say I hope it happens. I do hope it happens. You know, we need a stable Hamizrach HaTichon. We need a stable Middle East. We need to restore the Jewish, I would call it the Judeo-Arabic heritage, the relations between the Jewish people and the Arabs and the Muslims. We need to have this back because if we keep things in, if we keep things unstable, it would create a more unstable Middle East. And I hope it happens in the coming future. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I hope.
The other very interesting commentary I've seen is that there were many people who had very good reason to try and couch the Israeli-Arab conflict as a religious war because it served their interests. And what they're saying is basically the war that Israel had with the Sunni Islamic states is over. What remains is a territorial dispute with the Palestinians. This is not a Muslim versus Jew war. It isn't and it never should have been. What would your comment be to a statement like that?
I totally agree because I have so many Israeli friends, so many Israelis who are so proud to be Muslims, to be Christians, to be Druze, and I see their posts on social media where they see where they take pictures of mosques in Israel, mosques in Judea, mosques in the land of the ancient land of Israel. So Israel was never against Islam. It's never against Islam, and it will never be a state against Islam. It should never be depicted as a Jewish Islamic war. It's not. Israel respects Islam. So.
Yeah, you put up a post on Facebook very recently that I found absolutely fascinating. It was a picture of somebody being vaccinated against COVID-19, and you were remarking on the fact that the posters in the back were in Arabic. And that seemed, for some reason, to surprise you. No, all good.
That's a friend of mine. Her name is. That lady was a great friend of mine. Her name is Vanessa, and she was taking the vaccination in a Maccabi. It's not like a hospital, it's like a center, and it shows the coexistence between the Arabs and the Jews in Israel. Of course, it's not always. It's not always like utopia.
Of course,
there are bad things and good things everywhere. But you know, Vanessa herself sent me photos of numbers of mosques in her neighborhood, and it's a Jewish neighborhood. So imagine. So I wouldn't look at it as a Jewish Islamic conflict at all. It's the fact that some people reject to accept that the Jewish people are deeply rooted and connected to the land of Israel. This is the main reason of this entire conflict. The refusal of accepting that the Jewish people are not foreign colonialists or conquerors in the land of Israel. This is simple fact, simple, basic, elementary. And this is how it should, this is where it should start from.
I think they've pretty much made a pretty good start given Bahrain and the UAE. Hopefully curriculum will change. Hopefully kids will be taught what you're saying now. And hopefully there's a bigger, better, brighter future for everybody in the Middle East.
I hope.
I think you'd probably say inshallah. Luai Al-Sharif, I've got to leave it there this afternoon. I'm absolutely delighted you agreed to talk to me. Thank you so very much for a perspective from somebody in the Middle East, somebody who's not Jewish in the Middle East. Valuable insight. Thank you.
God bless you and God bless the Jewish community in South Africa. I'm looking forward to seeing you, inshallah, the Ikhud Ha'emiriyot Arabiyot.
Inshallah, indeed. That was Luai Al-Sharif, a social media activist. He's also a linguist. Remarkable to watch him speaking Hebrew, that he learned without ever having had a single lesson.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.